"You brood of vipers." That is how John greets the crowds which came to be baptized. Later, he wraps up this passage by saying, "His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So a couple of observations here. First, I have fulfilled a lifelong dream of mine by opening a sermon with, "You brood of vipers." And number two, few things say, "Let's celebrate Advent like vipers and unquenchable fire." So it's too easy to assume that by vipers, John really isn't talking to us, right? But rather some other less savory element of society. That is not exactly how we are normally greeted. Those are kind of fighting words, even though the crowd doesn't seem too phased. I think John the Baptist actually has us right in his crosshairs. But I'm not sure how that could be. We are good Episcopalians and we're here in church under unusual circumstances, right? But John pointedly lets everyone know that pedigree doesn't matter. It is all about bearing fruit. John wouldn't even care about denomination. He might even have some especially choice words for people calling themselves Christians. Best not to claim that we have Abraham as our ancestor and that we are already Christians, right? John is looking for actions. The beauty of John's interactions with the crowd is he gets them and us to ask, well, what then should we do? Once somebody is asking this question, they are already headed in the right direction. If you are in your garden and you ask, what should I plant? Or in a restaurant and say, what should I order? You can sense that action is inevitable. If you are standing on the banks of the Jordan and asking John the Baptist, what should I do? This also suggests that action is about to occur. Now, a wonderful thing happens at exactly this point in the story. Known for being fiery and radical, look at what John does here. He becomes pretty civilized and does not ask the individuals in the crowd for anything extreme, but rather common sense, everyday reforms that they can make in their specific personal lives to move closer to the way. Share with people poorer than yourselves. Don't use your positions to extort people. His instructions are simple and personal, though they may not be easy to follow or comfortable. So, hang in with me here. In math, a vector is a direction and a magnitude. So a car driving from Hebron to St. James can be visualized as a little arrow pointing east, labeled 40 miles per hour. That same car decides to head down I-91 to New Haven. Now the arrow is a bit bigger, maybe 65 miles an hour, and pointing south. Some vectors, like the car, are very physical. But I like to think about other vectors that are less tangible, like the lives of the people in the crowd. Stated simply, the life vector for a tax collector might be visualized as pointing away from love and pointing away from Christ and might be a pretty good-sized arrow. John tells the tax collector how to flip that arrow in the opposite direction. Even if the new arrow isn't particularly large, it'll at least be pointing in the right direction. It is unlikely that vectors just flip and change all on their own. They usually require a catalyst of some kind of energy or event. In this case, John is that catalyst. I have come to think that John prepared the way for the Lord by starting to flip those arrows in the other direction. John gets people pointed in the right direction, and Jesus will follow behind him with weightier demands and far greater rewards and consequences. Jesus will soon be asking them, the people in the crowd, to make their arrow huge. And how about you? How does your vector or arrow look these days? So John continues to be of service to us today, and what common sense advice do you think John might give you? I am rarely a Bible literalist and love some of the imagery. Last week, we were reminded that John is the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, as described in Isaiah. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. Now, is Isaiah really calling us to be landscapers or part of some big dig? Clearly, mountains and roads are of no concern to God. Much may be made of our own personal efforts to make our path to God smooth, direct, and easy to travel, but I will leave that for others to discuss. I offer to you that we would never have even heard of John the Baptist if prepare the way of the Lord was just about our own relationship with Christ. Let's experiment with a subtle but important shift. So this season, when you hear, prepare ye the way of the Lord, hear it as direction for you to make it easier for someone else to find their way to God, for you to help them flip their vector, for you to be John the Baptist. If you were to hold a great banquet at your house, but the invitation to others was only implied and general, and your driveway was obscured so that they had to make their way to your open door by climbing over the back fence through the brambles, would you be surprised to have few guests? If you are to make a path to your feast, to your God, to your faith, and your church accessible to others, it will require effort and will benefit from direct, personalized invitation. Maybe inviting a neighbor, or a friend, or a stranger, or a tax collector, or a soldier to join us here at St. James might be uncomfortable. Well, we really do have two choices. We can deal with that initial discomfort, or we can simply go back and rewrite Isaiah the way we want it. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, unless it makes you uncomfortable, right? And yes, it does make me uncomfortable finding important things to say when I stand up here and preach. I want to conclude less like young John and more like older Paul in 4 Philippians. No viper references here. In this letter, an aging Paul is writing to his beloved friends in Philippi. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. My friends, my Philippians, we are in this together, and you have supported me all along the way. Just like the more mellow Paul says, let's try not to worry about anything, and let the peace and the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Be we vipers or beloved, let us be fruitful and take some time to prepare of the way of the Lord for others this Advent.